It's become very clear to me recently that this is a very important ordinance to reintroduce. I've asked the city attorney's office to reopen the folder, which is the first step in getting the ordinance going, to get it redrafted and ready for introduction. Some of my colleagues have indicated a strong interest in co-sponsoring this with me, so this is something that will be coming up. But I mentioned this on Vicky's show earlier. There have been some very disturbing incidences recently. Last week, for example, in my neighborhood, there's a challenge neighborhood, and there were two arrests for heroin on consecutive days, and it's becoming the drug of choice. There was a heroin death just this week, and I think we're seeing it on the rise.
Welcome to Outside the Box with Mitch Hang. To be a part of the discussion, call now at 321-1310 or toll free at 1-877-235-1310 or email Mitch at WIBA.com. Now, here's your host, Mitch Hang, on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is our round table, which we have every Friday. And this morning, we welcome Don Severson, who's been a critic of the Madison School Administration and is involved in this organization, Active Citizens for Education, working together in our community. Also, former State Senator Joe Winicky, Democrat of Verona, who is seeking the office of party chair in the State Democratic Party. Is it chairman? You can't say chairman because that would be chauvinist and sexist. You have to say chair, don't you, Joe?
I guess you say chair. I am a man, however.
Well, so
And also, I just decided that you have to change your round table to the rectangle table since your table we're around is rectangular.
The senator, former senator, his nickname is Whiny because he's whining all the time. And he's whining as we start the show again today. Also, Don Severson, welcome to the show, Don.
Thank you.
Now, you've been you've been a candidate for school board in the past, right?
Yes, I have.
And you've remained active in sort of serving as a watchdog for the way they spend money, because we're always told, of course, we have these huge referendum questions coming up on May 24th. We're always told we need money. We're going to be cutting programs. And the way it's set up now, even the advocates for the referendum, they always say, well, yeah, we'll be back next year. So, in other words, we've given into the premise that we're going to come back every year and ask taxpayers for $8 million or $9 million or whatever it is. And it's just something that happens every year. And it's my point that certain people, especially those on fixed incomes, have simply reached their limit on the increases. And so they, and I have people come up to me all the time, you know, Mitch, I've never voted against education. You know, Mitch, I'm a Roosevelt Democrat, but I'm voting no on this. Because they see the property taxes going up and up and up more than their ability to pay. So that's why we have people like Jess Levitch and others and school board members and Art Rainwater and John Matthews, the union leader, going out and calling for changes in the way the state funds it. And they say that the businesses aren't paying enough. In other words, it shows me that they agree that the property taxpayers are at their limit and that they have to find a different way. Do you think that's a that in itself is a victory, Don?
I think that's certainly progress, step in the right direction, and certainly things do need to be done with the state aid formula and that sort of thing. But there's also even more important work that needs to be done at the local school district level.
Now, when you talk about saving money at the local school district level, you can find some money here and there, and you know, you could, I think it was a proposal to freeze administrators for a year. I think it was like $1.6 million. You could get a million here, a million there. But you're really not going to solve the long-term problem. And I think we were talking last time, if you froze all of the health care benefits and all the salaries of the teachers and froze all the administrators, got rid of every administrator, you'd get around $10 million, probably, something like that. You know,
right in that area. Does it fix anything?
It doesn't solve the problem, does it, Joe?
No, it doesn't.
Well, it creates even a bigger problem, because if you start freezing everybody's salary, you're going to create a morale problem, and then you're going to start having slowdowns, and people are going to do less after, you know, extracurricular activities, after school activities, and the like. So the worst thing that can happen in this debate is to just pit it as if it's the system, i.e. the teachers and the educational groups, versus the taxpayer, which is what's happening. And that's tragic, because the reality is that schools are labor intensive, which means that you're going to have costs. And the same people, many of which, not Don, who I think's been very rational in this debate, is that, you know, what happens after a while is, you know, you look at the thing and, you know, the same people who are complaining don't do anything about reining in health care coverage, which is you know, every year going up 7, 8, 10, 12, 15%.
Right.
And then, you know, they just talk about, they find the five teachers who make a lot of money and use those as the example. I mean, who's supposed to begrudge somebody who's got a master's degree in their chosen field, been there for 20 years and makes $50K?
Yeah, to me, it's not a lot of money, but a lot of people at home think it is, but it doesn't bother me, and I always defend teachers because I'm the son of a teacher. I like to read the administrator's salaries, though. I have fun doing that.
I've actually had a complaint for many years, going back to, I think, around 1990 when I was in the state assembly yet. I tried to get information from DPI on the number of administrators versus teachers in the state. Couldn't get it. Finally got the Fiscal Bureau at the state to help me out. And at the time, 42.3% of the people in a school system that were employed were non-teachers. Now, that's everything from aides to janitors to administrators. But, you know, when you think about a school and you always talk about labor intensivity and stuff, you think they're all teachers. Well, they're not. Almost half of them are not.
That's correct. It's a lot of concern about how we deliver curriculum, deliver programs and services, some of which are mandated, some of which are not. But how we deliver those is boards, and this one in Madison, has had no interest in really evaluating and doing any cost-benefit analysis of what's going on.
We know where the money goes to personnel, as Joe said. I mean, it's more than 85% of the operating
That's
budget,
correct.
Right, Don, for
That's
salaries
right.
and benefits of staff, not just teachers, but administration and everybody else.
Which I would argue, by the way, is a good thing. I want schools to be labor-intensive. That's what you're doing, is teaching kids, you hope.
But the biggest driving force in terms of rising costs has been the area of special education. I mean, that's been a huge area of increased spending in the last 10 to 20 years. And, of course, we've changed the definition of special education over the last 30 years. I mean, when we were in school, it had one definition, and now it's much broader. You have children who are have attention deficit disorder or any number of different labels, and therefore we have to provide extra funding and services for those children. It's been suggested by John Wiley, even at the university, that we are too quick to prescribe these categories because compared to, say, Racine and Kenosha, the same percentage of minority students, they don't have as many in special ed. And then we're always told, oh, it's because of the Weissman Center. It's because of the UW. They all come here. Do you buy that, Don?
To a certain degree, because this school board and administration has been interested in promoting Madison as a magnet for special education students. And when you look at our peer districts, for example, like Kenosha, Racine, Green Bay, and Appleton, they essentially have the same percentage of special education students as we do here in Madison. And within a range of 4 to 5%, those school districts also have about the same number of low-income students. You know, what shocks a lot of people in Madison is that 46% of our 25,000 students are qualified for low income. That means reduced or free lunches. Why?
46%.
I think the question needs to be asked, why do we continue to grow in those areas in Madison?
Well, the other issue, too, why any school would want to be a magnet when it relates to special ed is beyond me, because the feds don't pay their fair share. The state doesn't pay its fair share. The state used to pay 70% of the cost of special ed kids. They don't anymore. The feds on all of these issues used to pay a much larger percentage of the cost, especially in areas like special ed. And that, you know, they keep creating the mandates down from the federal level.
Right.
And, you know, No Child Left Behind is another classic. You know, we're supposed to do all these standards, but there's no money following to pay for it. The state doesn't have the money, so it gets caught. You get caught in this incredible screwed up system that says we want to have a good education. We keep demanding more and more from what's there with less funding. Well, and the property taxpayer gets caught holding the bag. It's BS.
Hold on. We've got Don Severson and we've got Joe Winicky, and we can take your calls as well. 321-1310 outside the Madison area, 877-235-1310. Of course, log on to the World Wide Web, WIBA.com.
Is this where you say hi, Mom?
I'm sure she's listening. That's
okay.
Why I don't do the throwaway lines I used to do.
What's your mother's name?
Ann,
if you're listening, there's so many things I need to tell you about your son, Mitch.
I'm sure she'd love to hear it.
But we won't do it today.
Right, not today. But in any event, before we go to the break, and I'll throw this on the table because we hear this all the time, money has nothing to do with educational success. It's not tied to money, which tells me that, you know, and also there's an argument against the professional education establishment. You know, I've heard from people, you know, when I went to school, You know, the teachers didn't make any money. They knew they were in a second-rate job, and they would tell the parents, hey, we need some help with Johnny. And then it was, you know, now the parents say, hey, I'm paying you all this money. I can't afford to live in my home. My property taxes are through the roof. You handle it. What about that, Don?
well, we'll
take the break, and then you can respond.
I'm glad you got asked first.
You take care of it. Why should I, as the parent, have to do anything? You're getting all this money. You take care of it. We'll come back. This is Outside the Box.
Local news, every day, all day.
You're listening to News Talk 1310 WIVA. This is In Business Magazine on the radio.
Join Marty Kay this Saturday when the topic is starting your own business with Neil Lerner, director of the UWSBDC, and Mike Conklin, president of SCORE. It's In Business Magazine on the radio, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 1310 WIVA.
It's time to garden. Orchids by the Acres provides not only the unique and beautiful orchid plants you love to give as gifts, but also a full selection of annuals and perennials for your planters and gardens. Grown in our glass greenhouses, they come to you with a strong root system. You will find all your favorites, along with many striking new items again this year. At Orchids by the Acres, Mother's Day gift ideas abound. We are open 7 days a week, and you will find us just north of Middleton on Highway Q. We are happy to answer all your plant questions at Orchids by the Acres.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Frank. Come on in. We're all out back on the deck.
Wow, Tom, when did you replace your deck?
Actually, Frank, I had the old one restored and treated by Pro Wood Care last year.
You mean this is the same gray and dirty deck I saw last spring?
It sure is.
Oh, wait till my wife sees this. I spent almost 2 weeks last summer trying to clean and seal the deck, and it looks already so weathered.
You know, I thought about doing it myself last year, but Pro Wood Care guarantees the restoration for 2 seasons, and I wanted to enjoy the summer.
Hey, I'm going to give them a call. There's no way I'm going to waste my free time again this summer.
Give them a call right now. The number's 608-271-4400.
Do they get free estimates?
You bet.
Where's the phone?
If you want to protect your wood deck, cedar roof, or log home from the elements, call Pro Wood Care at 608-271-4400. Their certified technicians will renew your exterior wood and treat it to ensure that it looks its best and lasts a lifetime. Call 271-4400. Or visit ProWoodCare.com. ProWoodCare, the number one defense for your exterior wood.
Spring has sprung, and so have the deals at Stoughton Lumber Ace Hardware this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Here's just a few of those deals. 40% off in stock patio sets. Buy one, get one free, 40-pound topsoil. And kids under 12 receive a free Ace toolbox. You can register to win great prizes, including a TV, microwave, gift certificates, tools, and more. And on Sunday only, 20% off everything in the store. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Shop Stoughton Lumber Ace Hardware on the north side of Stoughton on Highway 51 for all your home improvement needs.
With one of the largest selection of work boots in the Midwest, the Shoebox has the right boot for you. The Shoebox, open Monday through Friday till 8.
I've been lactose intolerant my entire life. I could never have ice cream or even eat a slice of pizza without worrying. I owe a big thank you to the people who make Digestive Advantage LI. Now with just one Digestive Advantage LI tablet in the morning, I can eat all the dairy I want all day long without feeling uncomfortable. And for those times when I eat something with hidden dairy in it by mistake, I don't have to give it a second thought. One tablet a day and I can relax. What a relief.
Feel the advantage of Digestive Advantage LI. Available at drugstores everywhere.
Take care of one more thing today. How? I'm on the job site all day. It's a good thing I use direct deposit. My pay is automatically deposited each and every pay period. No special trips or waiting in line to make a deposit. It's always on time. And that is one less thing I need to take care of. Ask your employer about direct deposit today.
You can also use direct deposit for pensions, dividends, even tax refunds. Stop standing in line and sign up for direct deposit today. It's simple, safe, secure. For more information, visit directdeposit.org.
The president talks about Social Security and high gas prices. I'm John Colbert. That story and more at 9:30.
Get live in-depth team coverage of today's top local stories every half hour. Now, Outside the Box continues on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're taking on the tough issues of our day, as we often do here at Outside the Box. Not afraid to challenge the status quo, the establishment, ask the tough questions. That's why we have Don Severson here, Active Citizens for Education, working together in our community, challenging the education established in Madison. Of course, they were going to do a three-year referendum, and then in the third year, the taxes would go up in the average home by $330 and have that be permanent. So do the math. In 2 years, that would total $660, in 3 years, $990. So you would just be chasing people out of their homes into these senior centers. So they amended that, and then they brought it to 1 year. And Joe Winicky joins us, who, you know, tried to champion himself as an advocate for property taxpayers all those years. That's why we have him here. And your point is that the villain is not the local school district, but the state.
Well, yes, that's true, although I'm all in favor of scrutinizing local budgets better than they do than they currently do. I tend to think administrators have too much power in the system, and the school boards, and it doesn't matter, you can take Verona or Oregon or anywhere else on this, information's power, and I think the school boards generally don't get the information they need to make critical decisions. So whatever the administrative team, which no matter where you're at, you could make the same argument for a city or a county or anything else, the administrative team has a vested interest in the status quo. So I'm all for scrutiny, but I have a lot of sympathy for the fact that, especially for our schools in this state, they've been put in an impossible situation by a lack of state funding, revenue caps, QEOs, you name it. It's all sitting there. The feds aren't paying. They've got a $500 billion annual deficit, so they're not putting any money in. The state's broke, so they're not putting any money in. And because, and we talked about this on your show before,
the state is putting in quite a bit.
I would actually argue they ought to change that, because all it is a bad pass-through mechanism for property tax relief that doesn't work very well. You know, by the way, when you have a revenue cap, it doesn't matter what the state aid level is. It's just going to pass through to whatever the property tax levy is. If you want to reduce property taxes, there's a lot better ways than this current Rube Goldberg contraption we got, which we've talked about before. We should be looking at circuit breakers. We should be looking at local option income or sales taxes. We ought to allow local governments a diversity of funding options so that the property tax isn't the only game in town.
Well, you can talk all you want about the problem with the state and the feds, mm-hmm. and there is some problem there. I would admit that. But I think at the same time, you have to lay at the doorstep of the boards of education and the administrators accountability.
Won't disagree.
Because they very easily just push it off. Well, it's their problem. They're causing us this problem.
And they bring us out every year and say, we're going to cut sports and we're going to cut this and we're going to cut...
Oh, yeah. That's same old.
We're going to see it every year.
Yep, throw up the lightning rods.
Now in Stoughton, when they had their referendum lost, somebody came out and said, in Stoughton, unlike Madison, well, the family health insurance premium a month, the cost was $1,200 a month, and there they paid nothing toward that premium. Here, even with the most lucrative premium for the WPS plan, the choice plan for Madison teachers, which is $1,300 a month in cost, they're paying more than $120 a month now. I mean, they've actually started paying more, and will continue to do that, I'm sure. Now, the state employees are paying, I mean, in this new budget that they haven't even signed the old one yet, and the state employees, but they're picketing now and protesting. But in year two of the new budget, they'd have to pay anywhere from 5 to 15% of their premiums.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you have now is you have this line drawn in the sand at that level. And we're seeing it all over. Joe mentioned the health care costs, Don. I mean, you know, what do you do when you have health care costs going up at 15%? And so then we give the teachers a salary and benefit combination of 4.2%. And then we have people going nuts because they can't afford to pay that.
Yeah. Well, the syndrome with that is the same as with the regular budget. Same old, same old. In other words, don't do anything different. Continue to do, we want the same service budget next year, and it's going to cost more money. We want the same service health care program next year. And they have a Cadillac program. Why don't they look at the health care program itself and
how do we make save some money? Go in with the state employees, or you know.
Well, that might be one way, but do all teachers need all aspects of the healthcare program that they have today? You know, they have psychological services. They have
okay. Let's say you're the administrator, and you say, okay, we can't afford this anymore, and we're going to negotiate that out, and you have to make some tough choices. And the union says no, and then you go to an arbitrator, right? I mean, isn't that what happens?
It's all collective.
And then the arbitrator just says, sorry. You can't take this away because they have it in Sheboygan.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that the way it works?
But we act as if we're afraid to do that.
Well, it's because the last time they did that for years before they had, when they had binding arbitration, the union won 10 straight times, didn't they, in Madison? 10-0?
I believe so.
It's like UCLA in the 70s. They won every year.
Well, yeah, that's just because the School Boards Association hired such bad mediators over there from Mulcahy and Wary. And I mean, they got beat half the time. And even then, because of the system of how you picked arbitrators.
But isn't that the issue, Joe?
Actually, over the history of Meade-Arb, it was like 53-47. But that's logical because the way it worked, is you had five arbitrators. Each side struck one until there was one left. So the arbitrator, if they want a job, has to go 50-50.
Let's go real quick. Right. Pat is on the line real quick. Pat Richland Center, hi. You're on the show.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Good Friday to you, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, to both of your guests here, to the guy who's saying it's the administration and the school board, you know, that might be a very, very little of it here, but, you know, administrators are held accountable in spades, not only by the people in the community that are paying.
Oh, I don't know about that, but go ahead and finish.
Oh, gosh, Mitch, I know some administrators, and they have, they're people, the community really has access to them, and a lot of people like taking a swing at the school system. I mean, they're watching their budgets close.
Are they really? Is that why Art Rainwater, the superintendent of Madison, gets an automatic increase of 4-7%? It's built into his formula.
Well, and he took it too.
No evaluation. What?
And he took his raise too, but there are some administrators, although not very many, that didn't take their raise to set an example. But anyway, so the administrators.
We got 80 people making over $100,000 salaries and benefits, 80 of them.
You don't in Richland Center.
Oh, in Madison.
Mitch,
what?
Mitch, that is true. But you need some really good, high-quality people in education. $100,000 a year is not that much, especially in Madison, for somebody that's really good. That's an important job.
The Madison School Community Recreation Director, $95,000 to get out the ball. I understand that.
Well, I'm not.
You can hire somebody from the YMCA who's retired, pay him half the amount, and still get the ball out.
Well, I'm not going to try to justify.
Let's go play badminton today. Thank you very much, Pat. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be disrespectful.
Mitch, you got your dander
up
there.
For the love of God. I mean, don't tell me that, why don't we just pay him $200,000 to sit there? I mean, my God.
I'll apply.
How many brunches do we want on Sunday? We'll come back. This is Outside the Box. Make me throw up.
How do you do in the market today? Get the latest business news with CBS Market Watch. On News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Everyone has ever grown up on a farm hated fencing. We changed that around and we built some very beautiful, long-lasting farm fences. Some of them stood 40 years. They're still standing today.
Ray and Harriet Stotts, Qualine Fence.
I started Qualine Fence in 1956. We're always striving to improve the quality, the longevity, and the strength of the fence.
Qualine Fence is a family company. A lot of us are Stotts, but those who have other last names are still part of the family, and you'll find us around for many, many years.
People have been coming to Qualine Fence for generations, and we've been there so long that it's really amazing. We get the second generation of the family members, and now, believe it or not, we're getting the third generation.
The grandchildren are now buying fences from us.
A fence is a frame around your yard. You would not own an expensive painting and not put a frame around it, would you?
Visit Qualine Fence and their newly expanded outdoor display area, Wanakee. Visit them online at qualinefence.com.
My four kids all got out of college, then I got to have my first brand new car, and I got a Regal, and then I had a Century, and then I went to Park Avenue. Steve Wenzel, my salesman, is really good. He sold me one of my first cars, and I keep going back to him. I send everybody to Zimbrick on Fish Hatchery because I'm very pleased with their salespeople and the service. Their service is great.
Buick LaCrosse, Le Sabre, Rendezvous, Rainier, and Terraza. Dream up and find them all at Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road.
Zimbrick Fish Hatchery Road.
Joel for Nevada Bob's. We now have two great locations, High Point and Vitens Golfland, and I guarantee the best price at both stores.
If it's happening now, you're hearing it now.
This is News Talk 1310 WIBA.
At 9:30, it's 38 in Madison. Good morning. I'm John Colbert, WIBA News. President Bush says he wants to curb the growth in Social Security benefits and put most of the burden on upper-income groups. At a news conference last night, the president said his idea could solve most of the funding challenges the system now faces. CBS correspondent Bob Fuss has more.
The president's idea to give larger Social Security payments to those most in need is incorporated in a few of the proposals floating around Congress, but would be a dramatic break from the way the system is operated. Social Security has never been considered a welfare program, and its payments never have been based on need. Democrats point out to shore up the system while doing this would require future payments to middle and upper class recipients to be dramatically reduced.
President last night also said his administration is doing everything it can to make gas more affordable. A man was shot in the stomach and thigh in Fitchburg this morning in the 2800 block of South Syene Road. Initial reports said there were several cars and a group of people at the scene, and drugs may have been involved. Police aren't giving out much information, according to Lieutenant Jay Wilson.
Well, at this time, all we can release is that we had a disturbance call and that someone's injured, and we're going to block the road off at East Cheryl Parkway and Nine Bark on Syene Road. So if motorists can use a different alternative route this morning, that would be greatly appreciated.
The shooting took place around 4:30 a.m. Police and Madison Metro officials are cracking down on troublemakers at the bus system's South Transfer Point. They say the shelter at Badger Road and South Park Street is the worst for trouble among four hubs in the city. Forecast in the News 3 Weather Center, mostly cloudy today, the high 56, maybe some light rain or sprinkles tonight, low 35, right now 38. Listen online anytime at WIVA.com. I'm John Colbert.
Get live in-depth team coverage of today's top local stories every half hour. Your local news authority, 24/7. News Talk 1310 WIVA. You wanted more.
More issues.
We want to make sure that the criminals are locked up and truth in sentencing is the rule of law. What's your kid doing defining transvestite in a world history class?
More opinions.
I don't agree with you a lot of the time.
You're doing a good thing in Madison.
More opinions.
I am absolutely ecstatic about this. Is it not possible to get a judge recused from a case based on what could be probably successfully argued as incompetence?
Up Front with Vicki McKenna. Now weekday afternoons from 2 to 6 on News Talk 1310 WIBA. That's the sound of $50 in your pocket. That's right. Get a $50 Visa prepaid card from Westtown Monona Tire with a purchase of four Michelin passenger or light truck tires. Westtown Monona Tire, now in its 27th year in business, is your home for the most competitive prices every day on Michelin, BF Goodrich, Euroroyal, Continental, and General Tires. So pick up a new set of four Michelin tires today through May 28th and get a $50 Visa prepaid card. Westtown Monona Tire at the corner of Gammon and Odetta Roads, Madison.
Are you the type of business leader who feels compelled to learn and broaden your perspective to stay ahead in today's changing world? Then let Executive Agenda buy you breakfast and experience their unique process for achieving personal and professional growth. As we all know, there's no such thing as a free breakfast. But if you're a senior-level executive other than a CEO or president, Executive Agenda will buy you breakfast on Tuesday, May 10th. It will only cost you the time and willingness to interact with other non-competing executives to experience the power of peer learning. EA is a professional organization of nearly 400 business leaders representing Wisconsin's foremost companies. Bottom line, if you're searching for a unique way to learn from the wisdom of others and be at the top of your game, there's a place for you in Executive Agenda. Call EA today at 877-MY-GROWTH for more information and to make a reservation. Or email us at ea@executiveagenda.com. Executive Agenda, sharing wisdom, experiencing growth. 877-MY-GROWTH.
At MHI in Mount Horeb and Monroe, zero is more important than you think. You'll find zero excuses to get to MHI in Mount Horeb and Monroe. Plus, you'll have zero headaches after you buy a new John Deere. During the Absolute Zero event, pay zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 months. Nothing is hotter than the Absolute Zero event, which makes right now the perfect time to deal on a new John Deere lawn tractor. Visit MHI in Mount Horeb and Monroe, your John Deere store with more.
This hour of Outside the Box is brought to you by Rural Mutual Insurance Company.
Exercise your right to freedom of speech. Call now at 321-1310 or toll free at 1-877-235-1310. Or sound off on today's topic on the web at WIBA.com. Now, here's your host, Mitch Hanks, on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking on our open phone discussion. I mean, to be so hard on the poor guy from Richland Center. I understand we have to have good administrators. My favorite was the Lodi superintendent. It was making like $108K, and they gave him $800 a month spending allowance. And then the student reporter in Lodi was asking how come the administrators in the district got bigger raises in terms of percentage raises than the teachers. And the school board member said because they work harder. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, I bet that was a real popular
statement. Yeah, that went over big. And of course,
Susie the Duck
crowed. Of course, we have 424 school districts, and we had 424 superintendents with their staffs and their assistants and their staffs. And I realize in the small areas, you don't have as many administrators, but this idea that we could consolidate and go ahead.
You try and touch consolidation even in the most smallest schools, and the old Beach Boys "Be True to Your School" song.
But
it's so true. They will pay more to protect their little community.
Why would we have to get
hard? And in a small town, it is the heart of the community.
But why would we have
their athletic teams?
We wouldn't have to get rid of the school or the teams or the mascots. I don't get it. Why do we have to have duplication of administrative bureaucracy on things like payroll and capital costs and food and transportation?
Actually, a number of years ago, the state tried to do this through the Cooperative Educational Service Agencies. There's a bunch of them, and they do some good things cooperatively, the CESAs. But, that in theory, if you wanted to take it to its logical goal, which will be sacrilege, and it won't happen politically, you could have that as your administrative function for all the schools in that region. But
why would you lose your mascot if you just simply didn't have as many people doing the same stuff?
I'm from Verona.
With regard to
used to be the Indians, now we're the Warriors.
Yeah.
We already lost.
Orange and
black. No, not Warriors. What are we now? Wildcats.
That's right. Wildcat basketball. My son played. Anyway, Don, but on that question of consolidating, I know it's beyond the purview of today's Madison School discussion. I've never understood why people would lose their mascot or their teams or their schools if we just had a streamlining of administrative bureaucracy when it came to things like transportation, food, capital costs, payroll, and the rest.
Well, Joe mentioned CESAs. What about cooperative buying arrangements and so forth with the city and the county? Mm-hmm. Right here in the same community.
Well, it takes 7 years to consolidate the health department. Hey, ultimately, it's a union issue.
Well,
Joe knows. Joe knows.
But it still goes back to what I'd said earlier about the status quo of the current team, whether it's at a city, a county, a school, or whatever, does not want to consolidate there because their jobs go away.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's a union issue.
Isn't it interesting?
It's not a union issue. It's a survival issue for the people that are there.
It's survival and it's control.
And we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the reason they met in Philadelphia in 1776 and beyond was to create a job service. Let's go to Greg on the cell phone. Greg, hi. This
is News Talk. Start calling you Vicky.
What are you talking about? I mean, that wasn't the purpose of the government. It was Tammany Hall. That's the whole purpose of government. Greg, hi.
That was a cheap
good
shot.
Morning. Yeah, thanks, Joe. Okay.
Good morning.
Go
Can
ahead,
you hear me?
Greg. Yes, we're being distracted here.
Okay. Say, guys, I've got to plead some ignorance on some of this, and I'm hoping you can enlighten me. I vaguely remember hearing about roughly a month ago that the Madison School District had somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 or 70 what they called resource teachers. And if my memory serves, these folks don't spend any time in the classroom. I'm wondering if that's true, what they do. Is it necessary? Is it commonplace?
Go ahead, Don.
Yes, there are nearly 70 of those folks on teacher contracts with MTI as members. They are charged with the responsibility of providing assistance to teachers and principals on curriculum and instructional methodologies. They do not have any direct responsibility for children in a classroom, but there are close to 70 of those folks.
Well,
Is it typical? No.
Would that include, though, reading recovery, things like that, Don? Where you work one-on-one with the... In other words, there are teachers who work with students out of the classroom, and then there are people that never see students.
Okay. Well, no, reading recovery is different.
Okay.
You're
talking about teachers or support staff that never really work with the student directly.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you for the call, Greg. Let's go to Loyal. Hi, Loyal, because Don doesn't have a lot of time here. Good morning, Loyal.
Yeah. Mitch, back in the old days when I went to high school, you never had such a thing in the smaller towns, the superintendents of schools. Every school had their principal, and they reported direct to the school board. They cut out some of that higher administrative class. Why did we have to go to it now?
Well, because we were afraid that if we lose the fat cats at the central office building, that somehow we'll lose self-rule and we'll lose home rule. And we don't want that because we want our people to eat our donuts. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
All I know is it worked pretty good when I went to high school down in Fenimore there. And I don't know why the system still wouldn't work. But.
Well, I think maybe we need to look at ways to streamline those administrative costs. Thank you very much, Loyal.
You bet, man.
Appreciate it. And, of course, I don't want to take away schools or principals or parents or mascots or teams at all. I just think that you've got these central office buildings filled with overhead, administrative overhead, and then they do the same stuff, and they might be 5 miles apart from another one. I mean, isn't that just obvious? There's silence. You know, well, never mind. Dave Hyde.
Well, I kept thinking about, you know, Mitch,
Benjamin Franklin.
No, I was thinking about Benjamin Franklin.
You were thinking about him in Paris with all the chicks.
Well, right. And then the other quick point was, how would I know? I didn't even go to kindergarten. I mean, we didn't have it at Maple Corner School, and my first grade was my twin brother and I.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in. So if anything stupid, that's why.
All right. Well, before we go, Dave Hyde, welcome to the show. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Mitch. Hi, Don, and hi, Joe. It's good to talk to you. The reason I'm calling is I'm greatly concerned by the way the disingenuous nature of the board and the school district in terms of talking to all of us about things like the maintenance referendum and how they ever got the maintenance outside of the regular budget of the school board is beyond me. Most every other business and school and church has the maintenance budget within the regular budget of the school, and maybe Don can elaborate on that and why it ever became a separate issue that we have to pay for year after year after year on a separate basis.
Thank you, Dave. Go ahead, Don.
Well, because they can float a referendum and get approval for it. It's about that simple. In other words, they haven't appreciably increased maintenance operations budget for several years, appreciably. In fact, they even dipped into it last year for other things. But whenever they think they can get approval for a referendum to do those kinds of things outside the operations budget, they're going to do it. They've done it for 5 years now, and they're going to go back and do it again.
I actually differ a little on this. I think it's a simple result of the revenue caps. Is what's happened is maintenance is the type of thing that they deferred for a few years because you could, and now they have to pay the piper, and they don't have the money because of the revenue cap limits the amount of money they can spend. They already know what their health insurance premiums are going to be. They've already negotiated salary. About the only place you got left is maintenance. So what they're doing is they're taking a traditional item that should be in the general budget, pulling it outside because it's the only way they can figure out how to pay for it.
Well, they don't look beyond their nose to try to figure it out. They need to look at other aspects of the budget.
And that may or may not be. Yeah. But I think you know why it's happening is simply it's been caused by these permanent revenue caps. And maintenance is something that a lot of schools did defer for several years because you can for a while. But you know it's like the old Fram oil filter commercial: pay me now or pay me later. And now they're having to pay the piper a little bit.
That's right. Bad decisions. Years ago.
All right. Well, Don, I know you have to go, so thank you very much. It's like the Tonight Show. He's got to go. He's going to go and meet somebody else. Thank you very much. Joe, you could stay because you're running for the chair of the party. I'd ask you about some of these things. The Democrats, sure, they're laughing and they're blocking and they're confronting, but are they winning elections? Thank you.